Well, I have the pleasure this morning of introducing to you our guest speaker coming all the way from Goldsboro, North Carolina. I always want to say South Carolina, but it's North Carolina. And he's the president of the Fellowship Network, an organization that I have the privilege of serving on the board with him. I am the executive secretary. He's the president. And I'll tell you what a privilege and delight it is to serve together to advance the kingdom of God. For we have about 3,000 ministries nationwide that are involved in the Fellowship Network. And Steve does an amazing job of being our president, being the face of who we are into the organization across the United States. An amazing man of God, amazing friend. He's been married to Sharon. How long have you and Sharon been married for?
31 years.
31 years. He has three awesome sons. Two of them are married. He has three grandchildren.
Woo-hoo.
Yes, you need to work harder, my friend. You need to work harder. He's trying to catch up to me at 11, going on 12 here. But an amazing man of God. He's got that southern hospitality. He's got that southern preaching style. He is going to really do an amazing job. He's an amazing man of God. So please give a big hand and welcome my good friend, Steve Holder.
Thanks, Pastor Phil. Amen. Hold on. You guys know I always look up to him. Wow, this is incredible. It's such a blessing to be in Pullman, Washington. Wow. And you guys are awesome. It's been just a blessing to be here already this morning. And I am so glad you came. Look at your neighbor and say, I am so glad you're sitting beside me today. I'm glad you came. I want to share a picture with you of my family, if they've got that. This is my crew, my beautiful wife of 31 years, Sharon, who very reluctantly could not make it because she is on tenure and she teaches at our local college, and so she couldn't get away this week. But my oldest son, Rich, to my right, right from here, it'd be on my left, and then his wife, Lauren, and then my oldest grandson in the middle, Liam, and then Mia, and then my middle son, Blake, and his wife, Sarah, and our little miracle baby, who was in ICU for 51 days, and he was born premature, and that's Hudson. And then my youngest son, the good-looking one in the group, all the girls are chasing after at home, but he looks just like his dad used to, amen. I used to have hair like that anyway. He's a little taller than me, but that's Matthew, our youngest son. All of my kids are in ministry with us, and our musical, and just a great family. Reluctantly and very sadly, this past week, my father passed away at 86 years old, and we did his funeral this past Tuesday and Wednesday. He preached for 70 years, and an incredible man of God, and I honor him today as well. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I would like for you to shout with me on the count of three. I'd like for you, everyone, to shout out, I am called. Are you ready? One, two, three.
I am called.
Hey, I think there was a couple of you I did not hear. Let's try it one more time. One, two, three.
I am called.
Yeah, I believe we got everybody that time, you know. I don't know why God placed this word on my heart today for Living Faith Fellowship. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, and you guys are so awesome and amazing. And I leaned over at Pastor Carrie and I said, you know how blessed you are. and she said, thanks for reminding me. And, you know, yesterday I flew in early to Seattle, and I went to a Mariners game, and you guys have Sager from North Carolina on your team, and of course you also have Russell Wilson, who used to play for my beloved NC State Wolfpack, and then you have Jimmy Graham as your tight end. Jimmy Graham used to practice basketball in our gym at home, And he was recruited first for basketball and ended up being a football player. So, but I was in Seattle and I had some time alone with God, especially after, you know, my father passing, and it was just really a good personal quiet time for me. And I was in Starbucks yesterday morning and I got me a cup of coffee and sandwich and I was eating breakfast at the Starbucks downtown Seattle. And the Lord just spoke to me in my spirit. You know it's God when he speaks to you at Starbucks, right? And he spoke to me in my spirit. And I had never been here before. I'd never seen this property. I've heard a lot about it. I know Pastor Phil. I love this family. I just love your leaders. I love this church. Pastor Phil went and preached at our church, and now they want him to come back and be their pastor. They love Pastor Phil, but I was, you know, sitting there and God spoke this to me and I wrote it down and he said for me to tell you that you are a city on a hill. And he told me to tell you that others have seen your good works. And he told me to encourage you that because of your good works, they are glorifying him in heaven. And I mean, it was just so real. And when our plane landed, Pastor Phil brought me by and was showing me around town, and it took us forever. But just kidding. I'm from a small town too. But he brought us here to this beautiful facility, and it was on a hill. And it was like God just, you know, he said, that's it. I want you to tell Living Faith Fellowship that others are seeing their good works. God's seeing your serving. God's seeing your sacrifice. God's seeing your investment in the kingdom. And I really believe this is from the Lord. You're about to go to a whole nother level in reward. You're about to go to a whole nother level in reward. And just, you know, brace yourself for what God is going to be doing here at Living Faith Fellowship. And I'm just excited to be a part of it. And praise God. I am called. You guys are called. And there is a call to all of us, and that's what I've entitled our message today, is a call to all. And I'm going to teach you, anybody ever heard of noodling before? Anybody heard of noodling? You've probably heard of the kind of noodling where you get in the muddy water and you reach in, you grab the fish. I'm going to teach you dignified noodling, okay? Dignified noodling. And if you'll look, someone had my little noodle. Who's got my little noodle? And get my noodle. Everybody needs a noodle. Couple years ago, maybe 2 years ago, it was my first experience noodling, and I need a volunteer. Can I get a volunteer? Can I get one? There's somebody way in the back. Will you come up here, be my volunteer? Come on, give him a hand. Now, what's your name, young man? What's your name?
David.
Oh, a man after God's own heart. We are flowing this morning. I want you to hold this. Okay, you like the fish? You do? You like the fish?
Okay, mm-hmm. A little bit.
A little bit. Okay. Do you have a fishing license?
No.
Okay. All right. We don't have any game wardens here in the service. Okay. When you go noodling, one of the first things you do, and we're going to kind of be safe here because I don't want to hit, you know, anybody with that weight, and you would be responsible. So, but. Anyway, the first thing you do when you go noodling is that you catch your bait fish first. And so we get in the boat and thank you, Catherine. You get in the boat and you take your regular fishing pole. And anybody ever, you know, caught some brim before? Anybody caught brim? Have you liked the fish? Anybody like the fish? I got some fishermen in the house, some sportsmen in the house. And you catch your brim first, or, you know, your bait fish, whatever that may be. You catch those first. And so you get those and you get them in the cooler, and then you cut them up and you make bait out of them. And then you take I need another volunteer. I need another volunteer. Another volunteer. Another. Yes, sir. Right here. You at the town. I need somebody up here with a tie. Come on. Yes. Yes. Thank you. And your name, sir?
My name's Jaden.
Jaden, pleasure to meet you, Jaden. Thanks for coming. And then you catch your bait fish, and then after you catch your bait fish, you take and you put the bait fish on the end of this hook, Okay, we're not going to, we don't have any bait fish, but we're going to put this on the end of the hook. And then you have different lengths of line. You have some that are 12 feet, some that are 15 feet, depending on how deep your water is. And so we're fishing, we catch our bait fish first, and then we put it on, this is called a noodle. Right? Everybody got it? It's a noodle. And you take about 30 of these, and you put these out in the lake or reservoir or wherever you're fishing out. By the way, we're fishing for catfish. Really good catfish. And then we cut them up and we cook Cajun catfish nuggets. Yeah. All right. So we do that. And then once we set all of our 30 noodles out, then we go back and we eat, you know, a sausage and we cook marshmallows by the fire and s'mores and you talk and you have a good time. And then after you've done that for a while, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, okay, I need another volunteer. Another volunteer. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Yeah, come on, you're right here. Okay, this is Will. Come on up, Will. All right, Will. Okay, Will, welcome to the stage, Will. You have the spotlight, okay? All right, wait a minute, I need a boat driver. Who can drive a boat? You drive boats? Come on. Come on, boat driver. Come on, Dan.
You're all in trouble.
All right, Dan, come over here beside me. You're driving the boat, okay? All right, you're driving the boat, okay? And then there's me. All right. So when we go out, you know, there's 4 or 5 of us guys from church, and we're out there, and we've caught our bait fish, we've put out our noodles, and then we've gone back to the camp, and we've fellowshipped, and we've talked, and we've prayed, and we've had a good time with the Lord, and then we go back out to see what we've caught, okay? And so Dan is our driver. We got Dan driving, okay? Slow down, Dan. All right. We got to find these things in the dark. We got to find these things, and sometimes the moon's out, sometimes not. So we need a spotlight. So he's in the front of the boat, spotlighting all where the noodles are. And sometimes the catfish are so large until they take the noodles underwater for a while. And then you'll see them pop back up. And so we got to have a good spotlight man. He's on the front of the boat. We got a man driving the boat, spotlight man. And then you're going to, once we spot the noodle, he's going to bring the noodle into the boat. And then once he brings the noodle into the boat and he rolls it up, we got a fish on the end of it. And then I take the net and I catch the fish. And we have now successfully, through a process, everybody has a job. And we caught about 11 huge catfish. They're going to put a picture up of a cat, one of the catfish that I caught. You guys got that picture? Do you have that? There it is. That's me. And we caught the largest. There were 3 boats, and everything we do has competition tied to it. And there were 3 boats, and we caught the largest catfish of the night in there. But now, guys, we would have caught nothing if we'd not worked together as a team. And if we'd not realized that everybody had a job. Dan had to drive the boat, you know, like he sober. He had to drive the boat good, and he had to be very good at that. You had to bring in the noodle. You had to find the noodle with the spotlight. You had to catch the bait fish. And then I had to bring the fish into the boat. And then we take them back to the cook. And we clean the fish and we cook them and we eat them right there fresh. And it's delicious. But no fish would be caught if we'd not worked together as a team. And I just want to say to you that we're all called to the team Jesus. We're all called to team serving. We're all called to team fishing. Jesus said, I am going to make you what? Fishers of men. I want you to give a hand for these guys here this morning. That everybody knows how to noodle now. Can you? I'll just sit that there. Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Awesome. And we had a blast doing it, and I slept in my Eno that night. I believe I got a picture of my Eno because you got to get a good night's rest. You don't have that picture. Okay. Well, just picture it in your mind with your imagination. I slept in the Eno that night. You know, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And I really want to encourage you in your serving. I want to encourage you in your callings. I just want to say to you that maybe, you know, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones. Sometimes we feel like that we've been toiling and working and laboring and we're not seeing the results we want to see. And so I just want to encourage you today that God is using you in a mighty way and not to be weary in your well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. And so I just want to cheer you on today. I want to encourage you to keep on about the Father's business and continue faithfully serving in the capacity that you're in. And I want you to know that maybe you hadn't had a pat on the back lately or maybe you've become discouraged. I just want to encourage you today. I want to tell you, your pastors are patting you on your back. Your pastors are cheering you on. Your pastors are celebrating what you're doing to change this community and to reach this world. I love this quote. It says, "Tell me and I forget, teach me and I may remember, but involve me and I understand." This church wants to involve you. Amen. This church wants to engage you. The leadership of your church wants you to fulfill your earthly destiny as much as they want you to fulfill your heavenly destiny. Your eternal destiny. And there is a call to all of us. And I know what some of us are saying right now. You're probably like Jeremiah. You're like, you know, others in the Bible who said, "I'm too young," or Moses who said, "I can't speak eloquently," or you may be disqualifying yourself. But I'm here to tell you that God, He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. And we've already established we are all called, right? I am called. I want to ask you another question. I ask my congregation all the time, just kind of drive this point home a little bit further. And that is, how many ministers do I have in the house today? How many ministers? How many ministers? You see, that's the response I get in my congregation a lot of the times. And I've been working on creating a culture in our church that everybody understands they have a calling. Amen. Every person, every believer is called. Pastor Phil said it a few moments ago. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Didn't say anything about having to have a degree or an ordination or a license or some kind of pre-qualification other than believe. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." People will get healed before they even get to this church. People will be saved before they ever get here to a service. People's lives will be changed because of your influence in the community, your influence in the marketplace, your influence in the school, your influence at the university. People are going to be changed because you're letting your light shine that others see your good works and are glorifying the Father which is in heaven. Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. Amen. So now, who is a minister in the house? Yeah, I am called. Praise God. What if I told you that there has been an error in our theology? And it was keeping the church from being as impactful as it could be. I really feel that there has been somewhat of an error of disconnect between what we call clergy and the congregation. I really believe that we have failed to teach the priesthood of the believer, understanding that we all now have access to God the Father. We all have ministry gifts. We all have something to deposit and to give. And so it's become a challenge to me. It's become a passion to me to begin teaching the church the culture of ministry, body ministry, that we're all called to minister, and that there are people that you can touch I can't touch. There are people that you can reach, Pastor Phil and Pastor Carrie, will never be able to reach, but you can reach them because God has anointed you for such a time as this. Amen. And I really believe until the church learns to empower others, we will continue to live below our privilege. And our level of influence is limited until we realize this potential that the Bible has said that I am in the last days going to pour out my spirit upon all. There's that word all again. Amen. I'm going to pour it out upon all flesh. Say it with me. I am called. We've all been called to serve. We've all been called to care and care about the people of our communities and to reach the world. Amen. Every believer has been called to connect with this community and evangelize this community. Amen. We cannot change our community with the attitude that we as believers are unworthy to minister or unworthy to witness or unworthy to pray or unworthy to lead a sinner to Jesus. Disqualifying ourselves. Yeah, we're probably not unworthy, but because of who we are in Jesus, now we have the rights and the privilege to be His hands extended and to represent Him as ambassadors in the earth today. I really believe we cannot change our communities by ignoring them. And we cannot change our communities just by leaving it up to paid clergy. We cannot change our communities by only ministering to ourselves inside of these walls. We've all been called to the work of the ministry among the community, in the marketplace, in the classroom, on the ball field. Maybe there's someone here today and you didn't realize that you're called. But this message may be specifically just for you. Maybe you're a waitress in a restaurant and you need to hear that you're called. Maybe you have a stethoscope that you put around your neck every day and you're looking after the health of people, but you need to know you're called. Maybe you're standing behind a lectern and you're teaching students. You're called. Maybe you're coaching a ball team. You're called. Maybe you're, you know, carrying a weapon and you're serving as law enforcement. You're called. Amen. Maybe you're carrying out the trash. You're called. Hallelujah. William Temple said, the church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Wow. That spoke volumes to me and challenged me and challenged my congregation. My choir director was doing a devotion a couple of weeks ago, and she used that quote. And it grabbed a hold of me and I said, I've got to share this. I got to tell others. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. It's not about us, but yet it's about us. It's about who's not here yet. It's about who's coming. It's about who's yet to be saved. It's about who's yet to be changed. And guys, God is empowering us for that change. He's empowering us to make that difference in the earth today. There is a call to all. And say it with me. I am called. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read this verse of scripture to you before I share a couple of principles with you and we wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 11 and 12 that He Himself, talking about Jesus, He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. He gave us these gifts to the church, to the body of Christ. And thank God for those. And we value those. And we never disqualify the role that God has placed among us in the church today. But it's verse 12. The reason why we're here. It's for the equipping of the saints. Amen. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to that full measure. That full stature in maturity in Jesus. So the role of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is for the equipping of the saints. It's for us to teach and to train the body of Christ to serve in the community, to work and to labor and to edify so that it brings edification to the body of Christ. So how does God want to mobilize us for ministry? You guys are actively mobilizing the church. I know that. And I believe you're actively mobilizing the church with the principles that I'm going to share with you. Here's principle number one. I believe that in order for us to mobilize the church, we've got to move the church from serve us to serve us. We've got to begin creating a culture in our churches that these worship services are not for our feel good only. They're not just for our blessing only. If it's just, you know, only for us who are already in the body and already a part of the church, then we're missing the purpose of our existence. And that is we exist for those who are not here yet. So sometimes our worship services may not be what we want. It may not be the song we want. It may not be the preacher we want. It may not be the message we want. But that's who God has ordained to reach someone who's not here yet. And we got to be okay with that. We got to be okay that we don't like everything exactly the way it may be carried out. We've got to be okay that there's someone who has a different preference than I do. We've got to be okay that the music may be a little bit louder than I like it. We've got to be okay that it's reaching souls that is the most important issue when we come together and when we go out into the world. So we move from serve us to serve us. And that word service means in the Greek, it's the word doulos. And it means to do that which is the advantage of someone else without any strings attached, without expecting anything in return. In other words, I have no ulterior motive on the other end of it. I am just doing this because it's to the glory of God. It's for His glory that I serve you. It's for His glory that I work. It's for His glory that I labor. He says here that it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, when we think about serve us, what it's saying is, what can I get from the church? When we think about serve us, I've heard people say, I'm not getting fed on Sunday. I'm not getting... Well, what are you putting into it?
That's awesome. Amen. I
find these all kinds of comments all the time. But it creates questions in my mind. Are you here to serve? Or are you here to be served? I love the first miracle of Jesus. Anybody remember the first miracle of Jesus?
Yeah.
What did He do? Turned the water into wine at the wedding, right?
Yes.
Jewish weddings, very important that you had that. And it was a total embarrassment to the family, to the bride, to everybody. I'm glad Jesus comes through for us all the time. He saves the day, doesn't He? But I love the story, the details of it in regard to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the Bible specifically says she turned to the servants. And she said, whatever He tells you to do, do it.
Yeah.
So when Jesus turned the water into wine, guess who were the only ones who knew where that miracle came from?
Amen.
The servants.
Amen.
We know where the miracles come from. We know when God is doing something behind the scenes because we're behind the scenes with Him.
Amen.
Amen. We're serving. And God's revealing thing to His servants. And he revealed that miracle to His servants. We've been called of God. And serve us says, I come to get. But service says, I come to give.
Amen.
I come to give this morning. I don't know about y'all at Living Faith Fellowship, but we constantly face a volunteer shortage in our church. We constantly are in need of people to serve in various capacities. Of a growing church. And so I really want to encourage you that are here today. I don't know about the status of the volunteer here at Living Faith Fellowship, but I just want to encourage you, if you're not volunteering, I just want to encourage you to sign up and to volunteer.
Awesome.
I want to encourage you to go to your small group leader and say, I want to serve. I want to bring some subs next week. Yeah. I want to help clean up the house. I want to put out some chairs for somebody. Let me run one of those cameras. You know, teach me. Involve me and I understand. Involve me and I know where the miracles come from. Involve me and I know how they got saved. It was by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Come on, say it with me. I am called. When you go home today, I want you to remember it all week long. I want it just to be, you know, driving that thought home to you all week home. I am called. You can volunteer at the local soup kitchen. Family Y. My dad was in hospice for 2 weeks and the volunteers there were incredible. You're talking about comforting and ministering to our family, bringing us ice, bringing us snacks, coming in and checking on my dad and checking on us and saying, hey, what can we do? Volunteers at a hospice. You are called. We are called. There's no such thing as unemployment in the kingdom of God. You know, I came from a time that I was conditioned to think of ministry as something that pastors do. I came from an age, and I respect, I thank God for my heritage, my legacy. But I came from a time when there seemed to be a separation and a disconnect. But I believe the Spirit of God is waking up His church to the reality that we've all been called. Amen. And the only way we're going to see the end time harvest that I believe we're going to see is for a resurrection of the body of Christ to the reality that we've been called to minister in the earth today. Amen. Amen. Here's the definition of ministry that I found. I want them to put it on the screen and share it with you. Ministry is meeting another's needs with the resources God gives to you. I really believe it ought to be a normal way of life. No matter what your present level of maturity is, no matter if you're a young believer, a young Christian, or you've been serving the God for many years, there's a place for you. You belong. Amen. Amen. You are called.
Amen.
The second principle I'd like to share with you today is, and I believe you guys have done this, you have moved from impressing from a distance to impacting up close. Because, you know, we can influence from a distance, but you can't disciple from a distance. You can't become an untouchable. And we've had so much of that in the body of Christ. We've had so much hero worship. And we've had so much of a disconnect that ministers have become untouchables almost. And you can't disciple someone. Normally I don't like to travel alone. Normally my wife's with me, or next week I'll be speaking in Pennsylvania. I'll get home on Friday night. We're doing a inventory in my dad's house on Saturday. I'll preach on Sunday. I'll get back on another plane Monday morning and fly to Pennsylvania. And I'm taking one of my young disciples with me, a young African man who I disciple. His name is Dante. And Dante will be traveling with me because you can't disciple from a distance. Jesus went fishing. Jesus went hiking. Jesus, you know, went camping. He took his guys and fixed a fire and said, let's roast some marshmallows. I don't know. They didn't have marshmallows, but they roasted something. I'm talking about building relational equity with somebody. I'm talking about inviting people into your circle. Find somebody new today and invite them to your home. You guys are like us. We're a military town. We get them for four and they're gone. 4 years and they're gone. You guys in a university town, you get these students for 4 years. Man, they need a mom and dad here. They need a spiritual mother and father. They need a spiritual brother and sister here. They need a home to go to on holidays and birthdays and Sunday dinners and all those kind of things that you enjoy when you're at home. Invite them out for coffee. Use your small group to evangelize the community, your neighborhood. I love the scripture that says that when Jesus came, in the Message Bible, it says that God became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Man, that's good. He moved into our neighborhood. I'd be glad that Jesus didn't try to reach us from a distance. He became one of us. Amen. He came to us. He came to us and he gave us hope and he gave us life and he gave us the message of eternity that we could have with him. And he discipled us up close and personal. And I thank God that he moved into our neighborhood. Amen. The third principle and last principle I want to share with you is that you guys are doing this too. And that is, it's okay if you come and kick the tires here at Life Living Faith Fellowship. You come kick the tires. You know, try on the shoes before you buy them. Make sure they fit. And make sure you got a left and a right in the box before you walk out the door. Amen? You don't want to get home with two lefts. You know, and you know, it's okay to do that. You know, it's okay to come and do that. It's okay to take the car out on test drive. It's okay to date for a little while. You can date some. But there comes a point when you need to put a ring on it. Hello? Let me tell you girls something. If he's been dating you for a long time and he's not willing to put a ring on it, you need to move on. Hello? I want somebody to make a commitment. And you know, it's okay to come and watch for a while. It's okay for you to come and sit for a while. But there comes a point in time when you have to get up from your chair. You have to get up from your seat and you have to engage and involve yourself in the ministry of the body of Christ here at Living Faith Fellowship. Amen. There comes a point in time when you got to move from watching to working. I love the book of James. I love James, how, man, he was so awesome. And you know, he was not a pushover, because James didn't even attach himself to the ministry of Jesus till after the resurrection. But he was an incredible pastor, incredible leader. And James said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. He said, faith without works is dead. I Googled it, and dead means dead. Amen. Faith without works is dead. Church has become so stagnant with nothing but spectators, sitting, absorbing, and never engaging. Way too many of us are spectators during Sunday services. Involve yourself in worship. Engage yourself in worship. Even the early church, eventually they had to get out of the upper room. It's great to feel the Holy Spirit. It's great to be energized. It's great to receive the blessings from the Lord. But if it doesn't take us, you know, we come in here to worship, we go out there to serve, right?
Amen.
Amen. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. You're getting the job done here. And I just want to just celebrate what you're doing. And, you know, it's time for some, though, as Jesus looked up Zacchaeus and said, get out of that tree.
Amen.
You've been watching me long enough. It's time for you to come on down and let's go to your house and let's talk about eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I played football in middle school and high school. And our middle school was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And the first year I tried out, 8th grade was my 8th grade year, and I made the team. But I rode the pine. Anybody ever rode the pine? You know, has anybody ever rode the pine? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody riding the pine right now? You know, just be patient. But I rode the pine that first year. But that next year, I was an upperclassman. I was a ninth grader. I was a freshman. I was the top of the class. And man, I got to start both ways. Pulled in guard on offense and linebacker on defense. Yeah. All 150 pounds of me, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was a terror. We won the conference, though. Praise God. Then went on to play football in high school. And, you know, you'd go through those processes and play tennis in high school. And you had to pay your dues and you had to ride the pine. But I love that baseball song. Put me in the game, coach. I'm ready to play today. Put me in the game, coach. I'm ready to play today. It's time for us to say to Jesus, put me in the game, Lord. I'm ready to work for you. Put me in the game, coach. I'm ready to serve for you. Come on, guys. Amen. Say it with me. I am called. And we're going to move from watching to working because of what God has done for us. We're going to get off the bench and get in the game. We're going to make a difference on the team. We had a driver. We had someone catching the bait fish. We had someone holding the spotlight. We had someone with the net out. Someone rolling up the noodle. And we caught some big fish.
Amen.
There's some big fish out there.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Some big fish out there. I love the story of Billy Graham. How the gentleman who was a friend of Billy said, if you'll go to church with me tonight, I'll let you drive my truck. So Billy went to church with him that night. And he heard the gospel. And Mordecai Ham, a lot of people know Billy Graham, but not everybody knows Mordecai Ham.
Right.
Mordecai Ham preached and Billy Graham responded. He led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became a pretty big fish. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So don't, you know, you can't give up. You can't throw in the towel. Be not weary in well-doing. Your ministry job is just as important as anybody's here. Behind the scenes is important. On your knees is so important. Intercession is so important. God has called all of us to be the salt and the light to this community. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
And greater works than these shall you do after I go to my Father. Greater works. Amen. But the first call that all of us receive is the call that is to everyone. That is the call to repentance. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. And if you would just focus your attention on what Jesus has done for us. And how much we love Him today. And the price that He paid on Calvary. The blood that was shed. The nails in His hands and His feet. And that in all of that, the death, the burial, and the glorious resurrection, the message is a message of hope that I am being called. He came to call sinners to repentance. And He's calling you today. The Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now for you to put a ring on it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now for you to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and for you to come into His employment, for you to come into the joys of serving the Lord so that you begin working on your well done, thou good and faithful servant. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day Jesus is ready and He is willing. Whosoever will come to Him, He will in no wise cast them out. So today, Pastor, would you lead me in a prayer of repentance? I feel Him calling me today to repentance. I feel Him calling me today to salvation Would you lead me in a prayer right now? I'm going to do that, and I want you to pray that with me, right? If that's you, pray that prayer with me right now. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me, just for me. If there had only been one, you would have died for me. You rose from the dead. You conquered it. You defeated sin. And you're calling me to repentance today. And I repent of my sin. Come on, pray it right now. Say it with me. I repent of my sin. And I ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. While our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, if you just prayed that prayer with me, you just repented and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you slip your hand up and let me see it? Would you do that? Would you hold it up? God bless you. 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 Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Father, I pray for every hand that was raised. God, you know the hearts of men. Thank you for looking beyond the outward appearance and looking upon our heart. You heard their prayer. You said it. You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. And they've just done that. So we thank you for saving about 12 people here this morning. We thank you for redeeming them today. And we rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen and amen. Somebody praise the Lord for these new souls today. Somebody shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord today. Amen. Oh, there's a party in heaven. There's a celebration in heaven when one lost soul comes to Jesus. It sets off a party in heaven. The Bible says the angels are rejoicing. Now, you that raised your hand, you just got born again. I want you to connect with this church. Fill out the information. Go online. Get involved. Get in a small group. Tell your pastor. Tell whoever you came with. And we're excited because you're called. Everybody say it with me. I am called. Hallelujah. I want to share this one last slide with you. The God in me is the same God in you. Go ye into all the world. Teach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I love you guys. Thank you for being a part of the Fellowship Network. Thank you for your great pastors, your great leaders. Living Faith Fellowship, you're getting it done. And people are glorifying the Father in heaven because of your works that are being seen here on earth. I love you. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pastor Phil.
Amen. Hallelujah.